Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Kuf Aleph. And we're learning today for Li'ili Nishmas, a number of people. I just got a number of these short sites in, so some of them are not today, but we're learning Li'ili Nishmas, Hyman Niwood, Elio Chaim ben Moshe, Shmuel, Elliot Schreiber, Elio Naftali ben Avram Tzvi, Magda Wolf, Mindel Bas Beryl. All these neshamas have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Aleph Omud Aleph with the words Lema Ketanoi, which is found 7 lines down from the top. Yesterday's Shia, we had a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav had said that a woman who is divorced as a Kiddushei Ketana has the same exact halachas as a woman who is Mimamenes in regards to both of them not being entitled to Ksuba. As Rav had said, Ketana Yotso Beget, a girl who's married, Kedushim Derabbanan, she was married as a Ketana by her mother or older brother. If the husband divorces in that situation, Ein Lo Ksuba, she doesn't have any entitlement to a Ksuba. And certainly, the Koshekein Mimamenes, and certainly if she was the one that left, she's allowed to just walk away from that marriage doing Niyot. That's the opinion of Rav. No difference between a Ketana who's divorced or a Ketana who's Mimamenes, since the idea, according to Rav, of Kedushei Ketana was to allow her to go and not be Hefker, to give her somebody to support her, somebody to take care of her and watch her. So therefore, that person was, so to say, doing her a favor. So if he chooses later to divorce her, or if she decides to walk away from that marriage, so he's not obligated to give her a ksuba. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says, yes, the mamamenes ain't lo ksuba. I agree with you. If she walks away, then she's not entitled to anything. However, if this was a full formal kiddushim derabbanon, a kiddushei ketana, that the mother or the older brother had arranged. So then in that situation, if she walks away, she's not entitled to a ksuba. But if the husband divorces her, then havayotza meget, yesh lo ksuba. So this was a machlokas Rav and Shmuel from yesterday, and now we want to suggest, lema ketanoi. Maybe this is the same exact machlokas that we see in this following tanoic machlokas. We learn in the following braisa, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua have the following machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer omer, ein maisa ketana klum. The actions that a young girl does as a ketana do not create a marriage. So when she accepts and goes into this marriage, and anything related to that marriage is not a real marriage. And therefore, vein balo zakai b'mitzvah. So since it's not a real marriage, the husband is not entitled to her findings. We had said previously the husband's obligated in providing mizonos for his wife, and therefore he's entitled to her mitzios and to her handiwork. However, in this kedushei derabbanan, ein balo zakai b'mitzvah. So he's not entitled to her mitzios that she finds, the lo b'maisa deah, and not to her handiwork, the lo b'afaras nedareha. He doesn't have the right to go and be made for any nedarim that she makes. Now, a ketana doesn't have the status of making the nedarim, but if she's what's called a katan mufla li'ish, samuch li'ish, if it is a boy between the ages of 12 and 13, or a girl between the ages of 11 and 12, so then their nedarim are valid nedarim. And therefore, there would be a concept of hafaras nedarim. Even though she's a ketana, there could be nedarim that need to be mefored. So in this situation, the husband who's only married midrabbanan doesn't have the ability to be mefored nedarim. And he doesn't inherit her. If she dies, so he doesn't inherit her. Likewise, if he's a Kohen, he's not able to go and be metamila because he has an issa deraisa to go be metami her to her, because she's not his full-fledged wife. She's not one of the Zion Krovin that a Kohen is allowed to be metami to, because it's on a deraisa level, she's not his wife, and therefore he can't be metami to her. And Rabbi Eliezer concludes and he says, Klol shudover, eino ki ishlol chodover. This is a relationship that is a derabbanan relationship that doesn't have the status of being a wife in any of these dinim that we just said. The only difference is Elisha Tzricha Miyun. If she wants to walk away from this marriage, she can't walk away without doing a formal Miyun. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We'll see, this certainly seems to sound like the opinion of Rav, as we'll see in a moment. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Yeshua says, no, my sekitana klum. It is klum, it is something. And therefore, they are fully married, albeit midrabbanan, but there's a full marriage over here. And therefore, ubalai ba'alo zakai b'mitzios. Her husband is entitled to her mitzios because he has to support her. And therefore, he's also entitled to her handiwork. All the earnings that she has from any work that she does, he's entitled to. And therefore, as her husband is as well, ubafaras nedareha, he's able to be made for her nedarim. V'yarsha. And in fact, if she dies, Rachmona Litzlan, he does inherit her. And if he's a Kohen, Umitamilo, he does have an obligation to go and Umitami to her. Now, this is problematic because, as I just pointed out, on a deraisa level, she's not his wife. On a deraisa level, he's also for him to get tummy to her. So how can on a derabbanu level that makasai, the issa deraisa? So Rashi in Yevamos, where we find the similar Gemara, states that in this situation, Dibra Maskul Mitamilo in Rashi over there on Daf Kufches in Yevamos, he writes, Im Kohen Hu, if the husband is a Kohen, even though it's only the Rabbanon, therefore he shouldn't be able to be Mitamitur, Ha Ukimna Beha Isha Kivan the Yaris Law. So since he will inherit her, nobody else is going to want to bury her, and therefore it's as if she has nobody to bury her, and it's a meis mitzvah. And therefore, a kohen is allowed to be metame for a meis mitzvah. And similarly, all of the other things, how are we allowed to go, according to Rabbi Yeshua, and give the Baala, the Baal, her mitzios and her meisio doubt, it belongs to her, so how can we give it to the husband? So again, this is based upon the principle Rashi tells us of hefker based in hefker. The Rabbanan afkerua gabe, the hefker based in hoya hefker. So in Yevamos, it explains Rabbi Yeshua's svara a little bit more detail than it does over here. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yeshua, the husband gets her mitzios, he gets her maisiyadea, he's made for an adorim, he inherits her, and therefore, umetamila, and therefore he has the right to be metami to her as well. Bottom line, Rabbi Yeshua says, she is his full-fledged wife. Again, albeit midi rabbanon, but she's his full-fledged wife. And the only difference is, elishiotza b'miyim, that she does have the right to leave this marriage if she wishes to, with just miyim, with just a protest, with just a refusal of her husband, and walks away with the process of miyim. Now, let us say, the Gemara says, lemo ketanoi, lemo rav, diomak Rabbi Elezer. Rav holds like Rabbi Elezer, because Rabbi Elezer holds the actions of the Ketana are nothing. In other words, she's not considered married. So therefore, he holds like Rav, who says she doesn't get entitled to Ksuba, even if the husband divorces her. So Rav, let us say, the Amak Rabbi Eliezer. And let us say the Shmuel, who says that no, she does get Ksuba, that seems to be in accord with Rabbi Yeshua. Shmuel, the Amak Rabbi Yeshua. So he says, no. Ali, but the Rabbi Eliezer, Kuliamalo, Plige. Everybody agrees that according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, there's no way the Shmuel can hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Yes, Rav holds like Rabbi Eliezer, and Shmuel doesn't hold like Rabbi Eliezer. So if we were just talking about Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, then yes, Rav holds like Rabbi Eliezer, and Shmuel doesn't hold like Rabbi Eliezer. But to automatically say that Rav cannot hold like Rabbi Yeshua, that isn't true. Ki pligi, where we have a machlokas over here, is Aliba the Rabbi Yeshua. Here, Rav and Shmuel both say, I could hold like Rabbi Yeshua. Shmuel, ki Rabbi Yeshua, that's obvious. Shmuel certainly holds like Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua holds that the Kedushim of the Ketana are considered a marriage, and therefore, certainly he would hold that she's entitled to Ksuba, like Shmuel says. But Rav says she's not entitled to Ksuba, wouldn't necessarily say, I don't hold like Rabbi Yeshua. The Rav, what would he say? I hold like Rabbi Yeshua. I'd kind of look on Rabbi Yeshua, huh? So the only reason why Rabbi Yeshua said in that situation that the husband's entitled to her Maisiyadel, her Mitzios, and he can be made for an Adarim, etc., is because he is getting things from her. Ella, midida, ledide. That's only things that she gives to him. However, maybe Rav would say that Rabbi Yeshua holds just like me, avo midide, ledida. Something that goes from the husband to her, lo, not necessarily so. And therefore, maybe Rabbi Yeshua holds just like me, Rav would say, that she's not entitled to a ksuba. So don't try to say that this is lemo ketanoi. Certainly, Rabbi Eliezer only holds like Rav and can't fit in with the sheet of Shmuel. But Rabbi Yeshua, no. Shmuel certainly holds like Rabbi Yeshua, and Rav can say, I also hold like Rabbi Yeshua. So therefore, it's not lemo ketanoi. And we quote the Mishnah that said, below blows, that the girl, either who does miyun, or who she was a shnios larayis, or she was an islandess, said that the Mishnah said she's not entitled to the blows. So Amalei Rav Huna bar Chia l'Rav Kahana, Rav Huna, who's the son of Chia, said to Rav Kahana, didn't you tell us, Amis lo mishmei de Shmuel, lo shanu elenifsim? Look, you were the one that told us that, according to Shmuel, that this only applies that she's not entitled to the blows if they came from Nifsei Malug. Again, just to remind everybody, there's two types of Nidunya that she can bring in. One is called Nifsei Tzom Barzo, that when she brings it into the wedding, that's put into the Ksuba, it's evaluated at a certain amount, and it's called Tzom Barzo. It's iron sheep in that the husband has accepted responsibility to return that amount at the end of the marriage, either by divorce or by death, so his estate, or he, will owe to the woman who gave this Tzom Bazel that exact amount. So if the Tzom Bazel worth $1,000, so he has to pay her at the end of this marriage $1,000. So that's called Tzom Bazel. It's iron sheep. As opposed to Nifsei Malug. So these are things that she brings into the marriage that aren't listed in the Nedunya, like Tzom Bazel, but the husband has the right to the peros. Doesn't have the right to the principal, but he does have the right to the usage. This is called the usufruction rights, and the husband is entitled to the peros, but not to the principal. Now, Rav Huna Bar Chiya said to Rav Kahana that Shmuel had taught us that this din of low blows, that the girl who is either Mema'enes, or is a Shnios Larais, or is an Islandess, is not entitled to the blows, but it's only of Nichsei Malug. However, Abu Nichsei Tzom Barzo, but she is entitled to Nichsei Tzom Barzo blows Isla, that she is entitled to. So this is what Rav Huna Bar Chiya said to Rav Kahana in the name of Shmuel. But Rav Papa questioned this. Heavy bar Rav Papa, and he said, ahai, does it really go on all three of these women? Does it go on the Mamanes, and it goes on the Shnios Larais, and it goes on the Islandess? Is really that what Shmuel said? Ahai, maybe it doesn't go on all of them, but it only goes on one of them. So which one? If it's talking about the girl who was only married Kedusha Derabbanan and she's Mema'enes, so if those clothes are still present at the time that she does Miyun, so so she should get them whether they're Nichsei Malug or Nichsei Tzom Barzel, because after all, she's not being punished over here. Why shouldn't she get them? They belong to her. The Nichsei Tzom Barzel, they belong to her. The Nichsei Malug, they belong to her. So why shouldn't she get both of them if she's Mema'enes? So Shmuel's statement that it only goes on Nichsei Malug can't be referring to the Mema'enes, because Idi Shokla, she can get both of them if they're present, and Vid Lesnu, and if they, for whatever the reason, aren't there, they were used up, so then she's not entitled to either of them. Idi Lo Shokla, then the husband doesn't have to go give her the value of the Tzom Barzel, nor does he have to give her the value of the Nichsei Malug. Why is that? So Rashi explains, in Dira Maskel, Idi, Bein Nichsei Malug, Bein Tzom Barzel, Lesla. She's not entitled to be compensated by that, by her husband. Why? Sheyochol Lomar, because he could say, Sheli Hotseisi, Shahari Berushus, based in Nisosia, these are really mine, because I married her with the permission of Basedin. In other words, Basedin wanted me to marry her. And therefore, she's entitled to get back the Nichsei Malug that are present, and the Nichsei Tzom Barzel as they were evaluated, Kisha Otsiena, Exor Mashiki Balti Olai Beksuva. So therefore, if I divorce her, then I'll give it back to Nichsei Tzom Barzel. And as well, the Nichsei Malug Nami, I'll also give it back to Nichsei Malug. Afa Pishlo Brishus Otsiyam, even though I technically wasn't allowed to use them, but I'm responsible for them. Miyo Yochol Omar, Ein Li Lach Zirun, I don't have to go give them back to her until I divorce her, because guess what? Maybe she might have predeceased me. Shemo Tomos, v'chayai, she would die in my lifetime, Varishena, and then I would be entitled to them. So therefore, if she is Mima'enes, so why should I have to give her back either the Nichsei Tzom Barzel or the Nichsei Malug? So therefore, Rav Papa says that Shmuel's statement that she's entitled to blows Nichsei Malug, but not Nichsei Tzom Barzel, can't go on the Mema'enes. No, so let's say then it goes on the Islandess. Elo Islandess. The Gemara says, no, that's also not possible. Because if those clothing are still present at the time that he divorces her, so then shokla. So then she should get both of them. Again, we're not consenting her over here. We're not punishing her. She's Nebuch an Islandess. She didn't know she was an Islandess. Now she finds out Nebuch, she's an Islandess. So why should we punish her? So why wouldn't she be entitled to both the Nichsei Tzom Barzel as well as the Nichsei Malug? So if they're present, Idisnu, they're still around, so Idi Shakla, she should get both of them. And Idilisnu, and if they're not around, so then, in that situation, it would be the opposite. Rav Kahana had said in the name of Shmuel that she would be entitled only to the Nichsei Tzom Barzel, not the Nichsei Malug, but here it's the opposite. We now say it should be the exact opposite, because if Chomaboy lay, why? Because Nichsei Malug, the Birushuso, Kaime, the Nichsei Malug, which belong to the wife, and the husband just has the usufruction rights, so that she should be entitled to. So belongs Nichsei Malug, she should be entitled to. However, Nichsei Tzom Barzel, which belong to the husband, the Lobir Shuso Kaime, they don't really belong to her. The husband has to pay her the evaluation for it. So Lesla, she shouldn't be entitled to that, just like she's not entitled to the Ksuba, because this was the Mekach Toz, so too, she shouldn't be entitled to anything in the Ksuba, which would include the Nichsei Tzom Barzel. So if this was referring to an islandess, if that was Rav Kahana's statement in the name of Shmuel, so then it should be the opposite. So it can't be referring to an islandess. And we pointed out a moment ago, it's not referring to the Mamenes. So what's it referring to? So Rav Papa says, Elo Ashniya. So Rav Kahana's statement in the name of Shmuel is only referring to the Shnios L'Arayis, which again, we said, are similar to the Issud Araisa Erva, but they're not the exact same. And therefore, the rabbis instituted the Rabbanan that they shouldn't get married to such Shnios L'Arayis. And therefore, in this situation, the Kansu Rabbanon L'Dida B'Dida U'L'Dida B'Dida. That's why over here, which the properties that belong to the husband, so we go and consider the husband for having this type of a relationship, and therefore the properties which belong to the husband, which is a Nixi's own Barzel, so that we give to her. And the properties that belong to her, which was a Nixi Malug, that we consider her, and we give that to the husband. And she's not entitled to take the blows of the Nixi Malug. Oh, this is the right understanding of Rav Kahana's statement in the name of Shmuel, that she's only entitled to the Nixi Tzon Barzel blows, but not to the Nixi Malug blows. Mar says, Amar Rav Shimi Barashi, we can learn over here, Shema Minam, Midirav Kahana, from this understanding that Rav Kahana had in Shmuel, Ailele Glima, that if a woman brings a glima is a garment, into the marriage, as Malug, as Nirse Malug, so Karna Havi, we view this as belonging to her, as Karen, as principal, below Mechasila, the Ozil Adibale. And the husband isn't allowed to use this to wear it out. He would be technically allowed to go and sell it and go and purchase with that property, and that property would belong as the Karen to the wife, and he would be able to have usufruction rights to it, but he's not allowed to wear it out. He's not allowed to totally destroy it. So therefore, according to this understanding of Rav Kahana, the glima that she brings in as Nichse Malug is considered principal itself and not considered something that the husband is entitled to wear out. As opposed to, Rav Nachman, he says, Peira Havi. Rav Nachman says, no, that this Nichse Malug is considered Peira. She's giving in this clothing. The husband's allowed to wear it. If it's extant at the end of the marriage, so she gets it back. But if it's not, so then it's Peiros and they're used up. Gemara says, you're right, 100%. The Rav Nachman pliga. So you're right, Rav Nachman doesn't agree with Rav Kahana. Now the Mishnah continues and is quoted and says, Ein lehen ksuva, so these women are not entitled to their ksuba. That's what the Mishnah had said. Omer Shmuel, lo shanu elamon masayim. When we say they're not entitled to the ksuba, so that's only referring to the mon and masayim, the base ksuba. However, Shmuel says, havo tosefes ksuba. If there was things added to the ksuba by the husband, so then, yesh lehen. So the husband obligated himself to that. As Rashi explains, this is because of chibas bia. So this is because of the love that will be generated by their intimacy and their marriage, so therefore he added this. So that was definitely something that the husband voluntarily put into this. So whereas the base kesuba, the monim asayim, he doesn't have to give her, but the tosefes kesuba, Shmuel says, he does have to give her. And we have a braisa that supports what Shmuel said, Tani Nami Hochi, Noshim Sha'amru Chachamim Eim Lehem Ksuba, those women about which the Chachamim said they're not entitled to the Ksuba, for example, Kigon Hamima Enes, the Chavrosea, in our Mishnah, the woman who does Miyun to her husband, as well as the other women that are mentioned in our Mishnah that don't have a Ksuba, so it says, Beferish in this braisa, they don't have Eim Lehem Mona Masai, they don't have the base Ksuba of either a Mona if they were, or Be'ula when they were married, or if they were Besula, they have entitlement to a 200 Ksuba, that they lose. However, if the husband put in extra, Abol Tosefet Ksuba, Yeshlan, they do in fact have that. So that's our Mishnah, and it uses the Lashon of Nashim Sha'amru Chachavim Ein Lehem Ksuba. They're not entitled to Ksuba, Ein Lehem Ksuba. So when it uses that Lashon, they're entitled to Tosefes Ksuba. However, if the Mishnah elsewhere for other women had used the Lashon Nashim Sha'amru Chachavim Yotzos Shalom Ksuba, they go out without a Ksuba, which is a stronger language. What are such women? For example, Kigon, like we previously learned, Kigon, Overis Al Das Lichavrosel, the Mishnah that discussed a woman who doesn't follow Das Yisrael, she doesn't follow the Minog we talked about of covering her hair under certain situations when it's not a Din D'Oraisa, it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. So that's called Overis al das Yehudis, she's not snua, she yotza virosha prua, her head is not properly covered. Or v'tava b'shuk, she goes and she spins the threads in the marketplace and is revealing herself. It's a, not a tznias position. Or medaberis u'kol adam, she speaks to too many people. So all of these women, so it used over there the lashon of yotzo shelo b'ksuba, which is a stronger lashon than ein lahem ksuba. And those women, the Brisa says, they don't have not only the mona masayim, but also ein lahem tosefes. And certainly, because she came mona masayim, they're not entitled to mona masayim. If they're not entitled to tosefes, it's because of chibas bia. So that is different than the mona masayim. But if they're not entitled to tosefes, they're certainly not entitled to the mona and masayim. Bryce continues and says, "Vayotzeis mishum shemra. If a woman goes out because of a shemra, Rashi explains shemra ishazin so nebuch she committed adultery, so she's entitled notelis mashala for neha vayotze. Whatever is still left of her nichse malug, that she's entitled to take with her. Nothing else. She doesn't get any of the other ksuba. She doesn't get the mona masayim, the tosefes, the tzon barzel. She doesn't get any of that, but she's entitled to take the nichse malug that are still present." And this is in accord, Messiah Leila Rav Huna. The end part of the Braisa is in accord with what Rav Huna said. What did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna said, Zinsa, if a woman is Rahman al-Islam Mizana, so she has to be divorced, but lo hivsida, we turn to Kufalif on the days, lo hivsida, blo seha kayamin. She doesn't give up the rights to go and take with her any of her nirse malug that is still present. The blows, the garments that were brought in as nirse malug, she still is entitled to take those out as well. So, the Braisa certainly supports this statement of Rav Huna. Moreh says, we have another Braisa that seems to say otherwise. Tani Tana, there was an Amora who learned the following Braisa, Kamei de Rav Nachman, in front of Rav Nachman. Again, Rav Nachman is one of the great Dayanim. And he learned the following Braisa in front of Rav Nachman. He said, if the woman was in, so Rahman al-Islam, a woman committed adultery, so Hivsida blows Kayamim. She does lose the Nisim Luke blows, which is against the Braisa that we just brought down. So Rav Nachman said, no, you're making a mistake. Don't read it that way. We'll see in a moment what does he mean when he says he's making a mistake. It really was a Braisa that way, but it was a Das Yochid. So he said, don't read the Das Yochid. When you learn this Braisa, read the majority opinion of the Chachamim that says, like we just brought down in the Braisa. Rav Nachman therefore told him, Amalei, he told this Amora who was learning this Braisa, im hizinsa keleo mizanai. If she was Rahman al-Islam committing adultery, so what did her clothes have to do with that? These blows, these worn-out clothing that are still left in the marriage, they weren't mizana. So to say, in other words, she gets to keep the blows, and therefore read the Braisa to me, lo ifsida blosea kayam. She doesn't lose. If she was Rahman al-Islam zinsa, she doesn't lose the blows that are still extant. And again, as I pointed out, he was not in favor of the reading of this Das Yochid in the Braisa. And therefore, Rav Nachman said, don't read the Braisa the way you did. T'ni lo sida lo seo kayam. Now, let's see that inside. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rabba Bar Chana said in the name of Rav Yochanan that this Braisa that was read by this Amora in front of Rav Nachman actually was a real Braisa. Su divrei Rabbi Menachem Stimsa. This was a Braisa that had been anonymously stated, and it was really Rabbi Nachman who was often the author of these anonymous Braises. So he was the one that actually said that, and he held that way. And this Amora really read a real Braisa. However, Rabbi Nachman was unhappy because he wanted to follow the majority opinion. And if this Braisa was quoted without really stating the majority opinion, people might follow that. And therefore, Avo Chacham Momrim, Zinsa, Lo Yivsida, Lo Soa Kayamim. And that part of the Braisa is what Rav Nachman wanted him to quote, and therefore he said, when you read this Braisa, read it t'ni lo v'sida blo seo kiyam, and only read the Chachamim's approach, and don't point out the minority opinion of Rav Nachman Stimsa. Then we quote the Mishnah, which said, im itchila nisa, if at the beginning the husband had married her with the understanding that she was an islandess, so then we had said that she is in fact entitled to a ksuba. It's only when he didn't know that she was an islandess that she's not entitled to a ksuba. Now, there's two possibilities. The possibility is that he specifically thought she was not an islandess, or he had no thoughts about it. He just assumed that she wasn't an islandess, but not that he knew specifically that she wasn't an islandess, or that she told him that she wasn't an islandess. So, the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, islandess, isha ve'ena isha, amana isha gebura. So, Rav Huna makes a distinction between an islandess who in some situations is considered a full-fledged wife and in other situations not considered a full-fledged wife, as opposed to an almana is always, almana here talking about married to a Kohen Gadol, which is an Isser Daraisa for the almana to marry a Kohen Gadol, And in that situation, nevertheless, the Amon is always considered a full-fledged wife, and she will be entitled to a ksuba. That's the difference. So Rav Huna says, Island is Isha Ve'ena Isha. What does that mean? She's sometimes like a wife and sometimes not a wife. So that depends. If he kirba, if the husband was aware that she was an island at the time he got married, and he'd already had children, so there was no problem of approval of her when he married her. And then he decides to divorce her, so yesh lo ksuba. She is entitled to ksuba. He can't say, well, she's an islandess. No, he knew she was an islandess, he married her, and therefore she's entitled to ksuba. However, lo he kirba, Rav Huna says, if he did not know that she was an islandess, so then ain lo ksuba. She's not entitled to ksuba. Therefore, even though he didn't specifically know that she wasn't an islandess, she didn't tell him she was an islandess, she didn't say anything. Maybe she didn't know. In that situation, she's not entitled to ksuba. So that's what it means, that sometimes she's an Isha, when she was known to be an islandess before, and then he married her anyway, so she's an Isha, she's entitled to ksuba. But if he didn't know that, so then she's not entitled to ksuba. She's not an Isha. As opposed to an Amana who marries a Kohen Gadol, Isha Gemura under all circumstances, in other words, Bein Hikirba, whether the Kohen Gadol knew that she was an Amana, or Bein Lo Hikirba, he didn't know that she was an Amana, Yesh Lo Ksuba. In either situation, she does get a ksuba. That's what Rav Huna says. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Achazu, Yachazu, the din is the same. Bein the island is, Bein the Amana who marries a Kohen Gadol, sometimes she's an Isha, sometimes she's not. Isha, Bein Isha. In both situations, Hikirba, if the person who marries the islandess knew that she was an islandess, or the Kohen Gadol knew that she was an Amana, so Yesh Lo Ksuba. In both situations, she's entitled to a ksuba. But in both situations, including the situation where the husband did not know she was an islandess, and the Kohen Gadol did not know she was an Amana, ain lo ksuba. So Rav Yehuda disagrees and says, in that situation, if the husband by the Amana, the Kohen Gadol by the Amana, did not know that she was an Amana, so then ain lo ksuba. She doesn't have her ksuba. Now, we have this machlokis, and we're going to try to show that Rav Huna is wrong. Meisrei. Following Brisa seems to go against what Rav Huna said. So, Konsa b'cheska she came, if the Kohen Gadol married a woman with the understanding, with the chazaka, that she in fact was an almana, and then v'nim says she came, and it turns out that she is an almana, so then yesh l'ksuba. But that implies that her stoma, if he didn't know that she was an almana, stam, he didn't have a knowledge that she was an almana, but he also didn't have any reason to think that she wasn't an almana, ain't lo ksuba. She doesn't get a ksuba in this situation. So, in this situation, he wasn't aware of her status, but if it turns out that she's an almana, she's not entitled to ksuba. So, exactly like Rav Yehuda said, kashan Rav Huna. So, Rav Huna says, no, the braisa works out fine with me. Lo tema hostava ain't lo ksuba. Don't read it, the implication that it was stam, and we don't know anything about whether she's an almana or not, in that situation, she doesn't get a ksuba. No, in that situation, she would get a ksuba, Rav Huna says. And what does it mean over here that only if she had a chazaka, she's the almana, and the nimsa she came, then she does get a ksuba? And what situation is it not? So, lo tema hostoma in lo ksuba, ela'ema, say in the following situation, konso, becheska, she ain't a king, if he married her with the clear understanding that she's not an almana, the nimsa she came, and then it turns out that she is an almana, ain't lo ksuba. In other words, if she tells him, Rashi says, she hit Iso, she tricked him. And she tells this going on, I never was married before, I'm not an Amona. And then it turns out that she was. Only in that situation doesn't she get entitled to Uksuba. But the implication of the Bryce is only in that situation, but in any other situation, she would be entitled to Uksuba, exactly as Rav Huna said. Where says that's not really a very good teretz, because that implication would be then Abo Stoma Mai. What would be the situation where she doesn't state she isn't an Amana, she doesn't state she is an Amana, just doesn't say anything? So in that situation, Isla, according to Rav Huna, she does have a ksuba. So then why did we not say that specifically? We've been a big chiddush. Adetani, instead of teaching us the case of Becheska she came, where we think that she's an Amana, V'nimsa she came, and it turns out she is an Amana, Yesh l'ksuba, she doesn't get a ksuba, so it would be a much bigger chiddush to say, Lashmin and Stoma, tell us the Stam case, and then certainly because she came her, and certainly if we thought that she was an Amana, because even if we didn't think she was an Amana, but we also didn't know for a fact that she wasn't an Amana, she didn't trick us, so then she gets it. So certainly in the case where we know that she's an Amana, of course she's going to get her ksuba. So why did you give us that case? So that's kashi number one on Rav Huna. And we don't have an answer for that. That's going to be a tiyufta eventually to Rav Huna. But we have another kashi even on him. Oh, Tani, furthermore, we have another braisa where it says beferish. Konsa, if the Kohen Gadol marries this Almana, knowing full well, knowing full well that she's Almana, and then it turns out that she's an Almana, yesh la ksuba, she does get the ksuba. But here it says, beferish in this brisa, Konsa, stop. If the Kohen Gadol married her without any definitive knowledge that she was or wasn't an Almana, so then, ain't la ksuba, if it turns out that she was an Almana. That goes exactly to Rabbi Yehuda, against what Rav Huna said, and this too, this brisa is tiyufta de Rav Huna. So the bottom line is, we slugged up Rav Huna. Knew what was his mistake? So it says, Rav Huna masnisa natiise. Rav Huna made a mistake with our Mishnah. He made a mistake understanding our Mishnah. Who saw that? He said, Rav Huna held, midakom maflug bi islandis, since we make a difference between an islandis, the lo komiflug bi almona, and we didn't make any such similar distinction by the almona married to the Kohen Gadol, that implied that only mikal the almona, afilu bistama nami yisla. He felt that that implied that the Almana would get it, even if it was a Stam case. However, Lohi, that was incorrect on his part, because Kikitani Lohi Almana, when the Mishnah teaches us the case of the Almana, that she does get a Ksuba, it's only a Pluksa, the islandess card. It's only on the same things for an islandess. We don't make any distinction between the islandess and the Almana, only in a situation where the Kohen Gadol knew that she was an Almana, just like if the husband knew that she was an islandess, does she get a Ksuba. But not in the Stam case, and certainly not in the case where they tricked her and they said, no, I'm not an islandess, so no, I'm not an Almana. So therefore, Rav Huna made a mistake. And that's why we slug him up with both the two sluggings up that we did. Now this concludes the beautiful 11th parak. We'll stop over here. Hadron Alecha Almona Nizonis, Hadron Alecha Almona Nizonis, Hadron Alecha Almona Nizonis. We'll start Mitzvah Shem, the new parak, with tomorrow's share.